Hi, you're listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri this morning. I'm Pastor Fox, sitting in for Pastor Dietrich. Let me say before I get started that Pastor Dietrich has been doing a series of radio broadcasts on training children and appealing to their conscience, and it's just been a tremendous series, and there's more to come. So you can look on our website at several broadcasts that he's already done in the past weeks, and there are more to come, so you keep tuning in Sunday mornings, same time, same station, and look forward to hearing more of the same. This morning, I wanted to talk to you about balance. Balance is a wonderful thing. I mean, think about physical balance. If you're walking through your house and you lose your balance, what happens? Well, let's just say it may not be pretty, and it could even be a little bit painful. But spiritually, balance is the same. A lack of balance leads to instability and inability to walk normally. Many truths in Scripture balance each other. For instance, truth and love. Some people highlight truth to the expense of love, and it results in a cold or sometimes caustic presentation of truth. However, many others elevate love at the expense of truth, and the result of that is doctrinal compromise, which may lead to outright heresy. So there needs to be a balance of speaking the truth in love. Another balance that's been debated for more than a few decades, and maybe we would even say a few centuries, is the balance of God's part and man's part in regards to salvation. Now, I'm not intending to dive into that debate this morning, just giving examples of truths that balance each other. But this morning, I want to balance two truths specifically for you. So here we go. The first one is knowledge. There are things that you need to know. The Bible speaks many times about knowledge. Proverbs 9:10 states that the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, commanded his readers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let me bounce back to the Old Testament for a minute. The prophet Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." The prophet proclaimed that the people were rejecting knowledge, and it was the cause of their destruction. The problem of Israel back then seems to be the problem of Christendom today, at least in the United States. People seem more comfortable in this day to believe what they think God is like rather than asking the hard questions and being open to real answers. To far too many people, doctrine seems to be a nasty word and implies the teaching of unnecessary facts that tend to make people cold and harsh. But doctrine is simply teachings. Everybody has a set of teachings. If you say, "There are no absolutes," then that is a doctrine to you. And if you say, "Jesus Christ is the Son of God," that is also a doctrine. Now, I confess that knowing Jesus Christ means more than knowing facts about him. Maybe you've grown up in church and you've heard the stories of Jesus walking on water and feeding the 5,000 and healing the blind man, but don't confuse that with a relationship with Jesus Christ. My mother was raised in a religion that taught her that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he died on the cross, and that he rose again. But that religion perverted the explanation of why he did those things. And for years, she did not see herself as a sinner before God who could only trust in Jesus Christ to save her. You see, facts and relationship are not synonymous. And this morning, if you can't say with assurance that you have been reconciled to God, that your sins have been forgiven through the blood of the crucified and risen Christ, then you need to get that matter settled, and I would love to help. don't hesitate to call our office or email me through our website. Now, we'll mention the website later, but let me just tell you the address right here, FBC, as in First Baptist Church, fbcwayland.org. Now, having said that, let me turn it around and also say that knowing Jesus Christ will mean knowing something about him. He has revealed himself in the Bible. So let me state again the first truth. There are things we need to know. Do you know what apologetics is? Well, if you're guessing that it means going around and apologizing for things, well, you're incorrect. Apologetics deals with giving a reasonable answer for why you believe what you believe. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, we read, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Peter is commanding us to be ready to give an answer to every man when they ask you a reason of the hope that's in you. When a man says, "Why is it that you expect to go to heaven?" we should have an answer. Or if someone says, "How do you know you can be reconciled to God?" Or, "How do you know Jesus Christ was who he said he was?" we should be ready to give an answer. How about this one? "How do you know God even exists?" Well, that's part of our hope. We need to be preparing ourselves to give a reasonable answer for why we believe what we believe. And that answer won't sound like... We need to actually have an answer. And a good answer would not be, "Don't you think religion is a personal matter?" That's not a good answer. And here's not a good answer either. "Well, beats me. I don't know. I've just always thought that." That's not the answer Peter's talking about. Listen, we shouldn't be afraid to talk about what we believe. If someone asks us a question we hadn't thought of, hey, we can simply say, "I'll have to think about that one and get back with you." Truth can stand cross-examination. But if your set of beliefs can't, you need to do a little more study. And I know it can seem like an overwhelming command, but we have to believe that God has provided the means whereby we can provide an answer to every man who asks. God never commands us to do something that he will not enable us or has not already enabled us to do. So don't let fear keep you from launching out and studying to be able to answer every man who asks. Now, having a good answer to a question about your hope does not mean you need to explain the cosmological argument for the existence of God, necessarily. But let me ask if you can defend anything from Scripture. Can you give a good reason why Jesus is God and not, as some say, just a good man? Can you explain the gospel to someone else? Can you tell them how to be reconciled to God? For starters, let me draw it down to this basic question. Can you even tell people your testimony of salvation? Can you tell them how God brought you to repentance and how you trusted in him alone? Let me give you a little comfort here by reminding you that a good answer will not persuade everybody. I'm not saying that you have to argue or that you have failed if the other person doesn't accept the answer. Giving a good answer for why we believe what we believe goes hand in hand with witnessing or sharing the good news. God doesn't say, "Convert the world." He says, "Preach to the world." Whether or not the world believes is not ultimately your choice. And in the same way, whether or not they accept a good answer is not up to you. But the fact that some will not accept the answer does not mean that we should have no answer. We're commanded to give an answer regardless of whether people accept it or not. Summarizing the first truth, I'll simply say again that there are things we need to know. But here's the balancing truth I want to give you. Trust. You need to trust God even when you don't know what he is doing or why. Just because some circumstances or truths, for that matter, don't make sense to you doesn't mean that God should not be trusted. God's ability is not directly proportional to our mental capacity. In other words, just because I don't know how God can do something doesn't mean he can't do it. Let me give you an illustration. I like music. I like computers. But I am not a mechanic. If you came up to me and said, "I can replace the camshaft in my car," Now, maybe I'm totally revealing my ignorance here. I'm not even for sure what a camshaft is, but I suppose cars still have one. But let's say you came up to me and said, I can replace the camshaft in my car. Well, I would probably say, well, I don't even understand how that could be done. Does my ignorance make you suddenly incapable of performing mechanical work on your car? No. And in the same way, our minds don't have to grasp every nuance of the Godhead or understand His every action and influence, and realistically, we never will. Sometimes you may hear this argument from someone who claims to not believe in God. I don't believe in things that I can't see. Well, that's silly. Every day we believe in things we can't see. Maybe you have been flying. You get onto the airplane and you find your seat. You get your carry-on situated and you buckle your seatbelt. Then you hear this voice coming from somewhere that says, folks, welcome aboard flight such and such. This is your pilot. We're preparing to take off here shortly, headed for Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be cruising at 36,000 feet. The weather looks good today, and I expect to have a pretty smooth trip. But wait, you can't see the pilot. And furthermore, you don't really know his credentials. But you trust this unseen man to take you 6 miles into the air and know what to do. Maybe this seems oversimplistic, so let me give you another example. I'm no mind reader, but I have a pretty good hunch that everyone listening to the sound of my voice this morning believes in something called wind. Yep, wind. But if we're honest, we would all have to admit we have never seen wind. We see the effects of it, but we don't see the wind itself. We see leaves blowing, and we don't assume that the leaves are actually running and jumping across our yard. Instead, we assume the wind is blowing them. So we do believe in things we can't see. And similarly, we'll have to trust God even when we can't see how He will accomplish something or even understand what He's doing. God has revealed enough of Himself for man to believe. The lack of perfect knowledge is no reason for doubt. We know enough to trust, or we can know enough to trust. In fact, it is evident that we will never, at least in this lifetime, know everything. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Do you see the balance this morning? You need to know some things. You need to be able to give an answer about what? The reason for your hope. But you also need to trust. Don't buy into the lie that something has to be seen or understood to be trusted. Well, thank you for your time this morning. I hope you've seen the balance and that it's a blessing to you. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to call or email us. Again, thank you for your time and have a good day. Been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312 or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.